It's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Every week, WEUL's Tim Alcorn and the Chronicle Telegram's Sean Bennett talk wrestling. It's brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your Grange independent agent, and by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We'll recap the high school wrestling coming up on WEOL.
Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to the second edition of our weekly wrestling recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn from AM 930 WEOL. Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Each and every Thursday night at this time, we get together to talk a little high school wrestling as far as Lorain County and Northeast Ohio is concerned. Glad you've joined us on AM 930 WEOL, on the WEOL mobile app, and of course, online at WEOL.com. Sean Bennett, as always, good to be with you on a Thursday evening. And of course, we've got plenty to talk about and a very special guest coming up this week on our weekly wrestling recap.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because in the opening week of wrestling, all the county teams were kind of in action, but they were kind of all in a couple events, the bulk of them in. This time they're all in action, they're all spread out. So there's like, you know, 12 to 14 tournaments that everybody was involved in. So that's kind of fun tracking all that down on the internet. And obviously we're going to have Brad Bourneville on today, who covered the Walsh Jesuit Ironman, probably one of the I'll just go ahead and say it is the premier high school in-season wrestling tournament in the entire United States. You have, you know, probably more than, I think, 27 of the top 50 ranked teams in the nation are competing in that. You got, like, I think they said something like 93 state champions in the field. It's wow. It's amazing.
I know we can delve further into this perhaps with Brad, but how did this prestigious tournament end up at Walsh Jesuit, end up in the state of Ohio?
Right. I mean, they just started hosting it, and it was one of those snowball effects. They began the event trying to get, you know, all the prestigious local teams there to compete in it. And it just started getting better. You know, the St. Paris Grand, which is one of the top programs in Ohio, started to travel up from Dayton. And then some teams around Ohio said, well, you know, these are some good, you know, St. Edward is there, St. Paris Grand. These are some good measuring stick teams from Ohio, which is one of the top wrestling states in the country. Let's go there and try it out. And as you just start seeing the teams start converging and converging, and all of a sudden you got teams from California on the other coast. You got teams from, you know, Pennsylvania, New York, Michigan, out in Colorado. Wyoming, you know, all these states are just flocking because they want to put their team that is ranked in the top, you know, 50 in the country. They want to see if they're actually as good as what people might say they are on paper.
Wow, that's awesome. That is just awesome. So again, Brad Bourneville will join us, talk a little bit about the Iron Man, some other tournaments last weekend, and some matches to look back on. And of course, we'll look ahead to what's happening on the mats this weekend. So a full show ahead. We're glad you've joined us. It's our weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center in Elyria and Avon Lake and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. We're coming right back, so stay with us on the WEOL Wrestling Recap. And, of course, we're glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday right here on AM 930. Of course, we're on the WEOL mobile app. And, Sean Bennett, we're also online
at WEOL.com.
Welcome back. It's our weekly wrestling recap on AM 930 WEOL, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21, Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn with AM 930 WEOL. Sean Bennett, who of course does a spectacular job covering wrestling with the Chronicle Telegram. And by the way, Sean, hats off to you. Great job to you and the CT staff for the wrestling preview that was in last Friday. Just outstanding work.
Yeah, a lot of hard work. Chris Sweeney does four of the eight wrestler features. I do four, and then type up two pages full of you know, team capsule agate, and we kind of rank some wrestlers. It's a big ordeal, but it's fun. It's something that the wrestling community has pretty much demanded now, and it's, you know, it's a good time, really.
Yeah, absolutely, great job. So a tip of the cap to the Chronicle Telegram, and of course Sean Bennett and the staff over there who do a tremendous job covering wrestling. Well, let's get into some of the wrestling that was covered last week, and we'll talk about the events over at Walsh Jesuit during our next segment, because that's when Brad Bourneville is going to join us. So we'll delve more into that when Brad joins us in the next segment. But last weekend, Sean, anything that really jumps out at you as far as some of the teams and some of the events that these teams were at?
Well, right off the bat, as you're looking through the results, one of the things I see, we've talked for years about Elyria having the two varsity teams, the red and the white. It's kind of taken me, you know, I'm starting to see through results that a lot of schools are starting to follow that program. You kind of notice that Lorain High School kind of had a split squad. The major part of their varsity went to the Riverside Rumble in Painesville, Riverside. They also sent a contingent out to the Mike Lewis Invitational at Buckeye. Avon Lake, their main varsity squad pretty much had the weekend off, but they sent a contingent out to the Dean Kinley Invitational at Cleveland Central Catholic, and a lot of their you know, their secondary varsity players or wrestlers had a real good showing out there. So it's kind of nice to see that people are kind of giving opportunity, varsity opportunity to wrestlers who maybe don't make the top varsity lineup, but can still go out there and get into some varsity competition.
And I would think it also indicates that the numbers are growing. Now you've got depth in these squads where you can put together two separate units.
It could be that, and it could be also that maybe foregoing a JV team because maybe wrestlers are so close to the varsity level that instead of, you know, designating that second team as a JV team where they might only get into JV tournaments, call them a varsity team, let them get into maybe varsity tournaments where they can compete, and all of a sudden they're getting much better level of competition they would if they were only competing against other JV wrestlers.
That's a great point. You brought up the Riverside Rumble over at Painesville Riverside. Lorain High with a pretty respectable showing. 9 out of 19. They did have 7 placers.
Right. Obviously a big field, 19 teams at the Riverside Rumble, and they had a couple, or they had a champion in Daniel Finley. That's back-to-back championships for him. He won the host tournament, the Titan Classic in Lorain last weekend. Xavier Santiago was third at 106. Deontay Dean fourth at 138. Antonio Delgado fourth at 170. So that's a handful of guys up in that top four, which is really the creme de la creme of the placing when you're talking about a 19-team field.
Sean over at Buckeye High School, the Mike Lewis Invitational. Good showing for North Ridgeville. First out of 12 teams, 10 placers for the Rangers.
And North Ridgeville really kind of is opening some eyes. Surprised me because they didn't have a ton of like returning district qualifiers or this huge core, building off of coming in this year. So they come in and they think they finished fourth or fifth at the Cobus Insurance Classic, which was another big field tournament. They go to the Mike Lewis Invitational at Buckeye this weekend, which is a 12-team field, and they win the team championship. So it's really kind of pretty solid work by North Ridgeville out the gate. They have 10 placers, obviously. Jacob Dunston won a championship at 132. Matt Carazzi and Abed Suleiman and Jared Viancourt and Chris Douglas and Dustin McElhaney,
wow,
all finalists, all runner-up, but all into the finals of that tournament as well. That's one of the reasons they gained those points to win. So North Ridgeville, yeah, I'm really impressed with them out the gate. They have a big match tonight against Olmsted Falls for early kind of Southwestern Conference tournament showdown. So that's going to be interesting to see as well.
And, of course, Elyria and Lorain sent contingents over there, as we were just talking about, with kind of those B teams, per se.
Yeah, Elyria's white varsity. Now, it's not the true Elyria white varsity because some of the red starting, the guys who would normally start with the Elyria red still wrestle with the Mike Lewis because simply that Walsh Jesuit is such a bear and such a juggernaut that some of those wrestlers would just get chewed up at the Walsh Jesuit. So they maybe thought maybe they weren't ready yet. I don't know how they designate that. But so a couple of guys didn't go to the Walsh Jesuit that would normally wrestle with the red. They went to the Mike Lewis and they excelled. Obviously, Colin Noel won the 113-pound championship. Ben Dorr won the 182-pound championship, and Luis Aguilar won the 220-pound championship. You have a couple of those guys in the top four. Tim Kenska was the runner-up at 220, so he actually had to wrestle his teammate, Luis Aguilar, for the title. You saw they were both in the final there. And then Dylan Hendricks was third at 160, and Alexander Lowry, who was third at heavyweight, and he's only a freshman. His brother, Jonathan Lowry, was one of the standouts for the Pioneers football team,
yep,
a few years ago. And then Isaiah Torres was fourth at 120. So pretty good showing for Elyria's secondary varsity team at a pretty big big tournament.
Elyria Catholic went out to Toledo St. John's in the Bill Urban Memorial, 14 out of 15. One placer, Jack Decker, finished third at 285. I know in last week's wrestling recap, we talked about the Bob Bailey Invitational over at Bellevue. The Amherst Comets went a little bit west and had a pretty significant showing, finishing fourth out of 10, including eight placers for the Comets.
Yeah, and Adam Loff, just as I had mentioned earlier, Daniel Finley, wins back-to-back tournament titles. He won the 120-pound title at the Kobos Insurance Classic at Avon Lake in week one, comes back and wins the Bob Bailey Invitational at 120 pounds again. Teammate Xavier Rivers, who was SWC champion last year, won the 152-pound title. And then another finalist in Clay Carpenter at 195 pounds. He finishes the runner-up at 195.
And we mentioned our good friend Tom Evans over at Cuyahoga Heights, the Redskin Invitational. Brookside and Oberlin were both over at Cuyahoga Heights last weekend.
And both got a handful of placers. Tony Garza from Brookside was the only finalist. He finished runner-up in the heavyweight bracket. But good to see those guys going out there. Another decent-sized field, 12 teams in that field. So it's good competition. Anytime you get double-digit teams into a tournament, you're getting some good hard matches.
And finally, to wrap things up as far as last weekend was concerned, Vermilion had a solid showing at Clear Fork, the Clear Fork Invitational. Sailors 4th out of 13, including 9 placers for the Sailors.
Yeah, they did a little bit of traveling, get out there. Like we talked to a lot of coaches, they want to see something different, see different officials, see different kinds of styles of wrestling. So they go down to Clear Fork, and it's a 13-team field. Vermilion finishes 4th, which is a really good showing as a team. 9 placers, led by champion Brandon DeEgidio, who won the 120-pound title. Finished, I believe, 3rd at the Cobus Insurance Classic the week before. So he's obviously off to a good start. As expected, he's one of the team leaders there. So, definitely a good thing. And I see some names missing from Vermilion. We mentioned a couple other teams. Lyric Catholic, you mentioned that Jack Decker was their one placer. I think he was the only guy in the field. They only have a handful of wrestlers, and there are a lot of guys that are banged up and injured. So injuries are already paying a toll here early in the season, so we are missing a few guys, seeing what they can do so far.
All right, see if we can get those guys back to health as the season rolls along. So that's a look at last weekend. Again, coming up in our next segment, we are going to talk about the Ironman. Brad Bourneville will be our guest. He was there covering the Ironman. Can fill us in depth as far as what happened at that awesome tournament at Walsh Jesuit. And we'll also look ahead to what's happening this weekend on the mats. So stay with us. It's our weekly wrestling recap on AM 930 WEOL. It's brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Elkhorn from WEOL. Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. We're glad you've dialed in, not only on the radio, but on the WEOL mobile app, and Sean online
at WEOL.com.
And we welcome you back. It's our weekly wrestling recap on AM 930 WEOL. Tim Elkhorn from the radio station, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Of course, each and every Thursday at this time, we bring you the weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Great big thank you to Bob Cobos and everybody at the Cobos Insurance Center, and Mike Deanna and everybody with his crew over at Century 21 Deanna Family Realty, for sponsoring the show each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL. Well, as we said during our last segment, we kind of teased you with the big guest coming up during the next segment. He's now on the phone lines joining us, Brad Bourneville, and we welcome Brad in. We're going to talk to Brad about, boy, that great tournament at Walsh Jesuit, the Ironman. So, Brad, as always, great to have you on AM 930 WEOL. We appreciate you stopping in.
Always good to talk to you guys. Love it when you guys let me on the show.
Well, it's great to have you. And, of course, as Sean and I were talking about during the opening segment, you were there covering the Ironman down at Walsh Jesuit. Before we really delve into this, I know Sean and I talked about this a little bit. Perhaps you can add a couple of comments or two more. Boy, how did this all evolve with Walsh Jesuit just hosting this premier tournament, not only in the state, but as Sean has alluded to, perhaps in the country? Man, how did this all take shape?
Well, it started back when Walsh used to be a power. They were, they were the ones that were fighting Eds all the time, and it was actually Bill Barger's brainchild along with John Massio. you know, they thought, hey, let's get something out here in tradition rich Northeast Ohio. And the thing has just exploded. I mean, this year there were 25 of the top 50 teams were there. The four of the top five teams, 93 individually ranked national kids.
Wow.
There were seven number ones, according to Josh Law. I mean, this thing was just, you know, here's a perfect example of how tough this tournament is. CBCA's Jordan Decatur. He's a two-time state champion. He's a three-time national freestyle champ. He never won Fargo, or he never won Walsh. Not one time. He went there all 4 years. He never won, never even got to the finals. That shows you how tough this tournament is, and that kid's going to Ohio State.
Brad, obviously Elyria was kind of the focus for our area there, and you've covered the Ironman for the last several years for us, you know, writing about Elyria. You know, the thing with Elyria was they opened the season at number 16 in the nation and obliterated two pretty solid teams in Tiffin Columbia and Perrysburg and dropped to 32, I believe it was. And we know why. It was because they dismissed two really good wrestlers in Jordan Crace and Farouk Muhammad. But they probably went into that Ironman with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, I would guess.
Well, 100%. And if you look at the results, I mean, every one of these kids got at least to the consolation round of four. So that means there was absolutely, as they say in the business, there was no two in barbecues. There was no 0-2 kids. I mean, every one of these kids came out and wrestled their hardest. It was like Jack said to me after the tournament was over, Jack Gillespie, you know, they finished 10th. The only time they ever finished better than that was 2014 when they finished 8th. And we all know how loaded that team was. I'm really looking forward to watching this team along with you, you know, see how far they can go. They're a young team. They got some really big budding talents, but you know, the Dylan Shavers, the Mick Burnetts are going to be there all year. And man, they were fantastic this weekend.
Coach, excuse me, Brad, I'm so used to interviewing coaches. Brad, coaches don't like to compare teams. And they go, I don't want to do that. But does this Elyria team, and as loaded as they are, do they remind you of previous an Elyria team that kind of you can compare them to?
Well, it's kind of like when Ben Darmstadt and Kevin Vogt were young. It's along that team. There is so much potential there. And we all know how great a coach Eric Burnett is. You know, he's going to get that talent out. It might take till the end of the year for this team to really start rolling. But obviously, I mean, 10th place of the Ironman is nothing to sneeze at. He's already got them going the right direction. But, you know, this team by the end, which is when it really matters, and you talk to any coach in wrestling, man, they'll tell you that the regular season is nothing but preseason. They don't, they care, but they don't look at it as, you know, the be-all, end-all. They want you to peak at the end, and this team certainly is going the right way.
Again, we're talking with Brad Bornival. He was at the Ironman last weekend covering it for the Chronicle-Telegram. Great to have him on WEOL this week.
Hey, Brad, obviously we know a lot about Dylan Shaver and Mick Burnett. They're nationally ranked wrestlers. Jake Evans joined them on the podium. A couple other guys I wanted to kind of just see if you got to catch them wrestling in there is Bryce Allison, 113, had a really, pretty tight match with LaSalle's Dustin Norris, who's ranked 14th in the nation. I think he lost 1-0. That was his elimination match. And Enrique Munguia actually beat Brecksville's Victor Voinovich, who was ranked number 9 in the nation, 7-4 in overtime. Did you get to see either one of those guys? It sounds like they were wrestling at the top of their game early in the season.
Got to see both of them. And don't forget, Enrique beat Vic Voinovich. He's a state champ from last year. So, I mean, Enrique was the one that really surprised, because I don't want to say surprised. He was the one that really impressed me. He is wrestling incredible this early in the season. And if you look at Bryce, I mean, Bryce is a kid. He's surrounded by Peyton Feld and Nate Burnett. So, you know, those three right there to start off, they're fantastic. Obviously, Dustin Norris, a 1-0, you know, decision where he lost. Those are going to turn into wins later on in the season. I mean, you know, this is a monster tournament for him. That kid's wrestled in a ton of, not to say that Elyria hasn't, because they go to some big tournaments as well. But, you know, look for that kid, especially that one. That one right there tells that kid that, you know, he belongs. I don't want to say in the national discussion, but he certainly belongs in the state discussion.
obviously the wins any of these guys had against you know, state ranked or even some of the nationally ranked wins that a handful of guys get, always impressive. But I was thinking about Mick Burnett, his last two matches, both losses. But in the consolation semifinals, he loses a tight match to Jordan Decatur, which we mentioned before, who was ranked number one in the country at that time, and then lost in his placement match 3-2 to Wyoming Seminary's Bo Bartlett, who was ranked number three in the nation. Sometimes those matches, even though they're losses, just as impressive as wins over top-ranked guys.
100%, because I don't know if you've ever watched Jordan Decatur wrestler, but I've never in my life seen a faster wrestler. I mean, you're talking about, I've covered, 25 of the last term. It's just like you've seen incredible wrestlers as well. I have never in my life seen anybody faster than Jordan Decatur on his feet. And to hold that score to what it was just fantastic. And, I mean, this, you could see the Mick Burnett of old coming out, because – he told me before the tournament started, you know, he finished sixth as a freshman, didn't place as a sophomore. It really meant something for him just to get on the podium. You know, the drive was there. The want was there. This kid's going to be fantastic. He's going to, you know, he's going to excel when it matters the most.
Awesome. Brad, as always, we appreciate your insights and your analysis. Great to have you on. I'm sure this is the first of what will be at least a couple or a few appearances on the Wrestling Recap this year, but we appreciate you spent the time to join us.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad Bourneville joining us this week on our Wrestling Recap right here on AM 930 WEOL. Brad saw it up close and personal, although I did see his Twitter where he said, not the best view. I guess
he got
blocked
picture.
Out on a few things.
It's unbelievable. I've covered the event several times, and it is so crowded, especially in that dome area. They wrestle in multiple locations at Walsh Jesuit because it has become so big. They have a secondary gym. You have to actually climb downstairs to get there in the whole nine yards. But the main gym where they have the three big mats for the finals, it's a madhouse. It's just like, 15 feet deep with people standing before you even get to bleachers. So it is quite difficult to get a great seat, a great viewing area in there because it is so crowded.
I'll tell you what, though, when you have that level of wrestling, not only from the state, but again, as we've talked about, from around the country, you're going to get huge crowds. You're going to get that type of passion in the arena. All right, we've got a couple of minutes left. So, Sean, real quick, wrestling this weekend, some Friday and Saturday, some Saturday only. What kind of stands out for you as we get ready for another weekend on the mats?
Well, obviously, the one of the Saturday onlys is a big in-county competition at Black River, the JB Firestone Invitational, where we have Clearview, Overland, North Ridgeville, and Black River all competing. That's always a big one for us because there are several local teams there, local wrestlers going. I tell you how they have those duels tournaments now. Avon's had a big one this weekend, the Archbold Frickers duels at Defiance College on Friday and Saturday, and the kids get a lot of matches there, and there's some big programs there, so that's a good measuring stick type of tournament for them as well. Other ones, Avon Lake at the Hudson Invitational, they go every year to that. That's a good one. And Wellington to the D3 Classic, that's all Division III programs, so you don't get
kind going there. Yourself.
Yeah, you don't go in there and get slaughtered by a bunch of Division I programs that are stacked. You're pretty much facing teams that are kind of like yourself and teams that you may actually see in the state duels, so you may even get a good idea of what future competition you have.
And then Sean mentioned the JB Firestone Invitational. That's Saturday only. Also Saturday only, Lorraine is at the Finley Wrestling Invitational. Firelands will be at the Canfield Holiday Duels on Saturday. And also on Saturday, the Keystone Wildcat Wrestling Program will be at the Rebel Invitational at Willoughby South.
That's right.
So a busy weekend coming up. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Talking about the Iron Man always kind of pumps me up because it is such – it's on such another level when it comes to high school wrestling. It's like talking about the Super Bowl instead of just talking about regular NFL season games.
All right. So, again, we thank Brad Bourneville for joining us, talking a little bit about that Iron Man. And, of course, Sean Bennett, thanks to you. Biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners. Hope you enjoyed it. Again, our Thursday night wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. For Sean Bennett, I'm Tim Elkhorn. I'll be back with you again tomorrow night right here on WEOL. We'll have high school basketball on Friday. That will feature Firelands at Wellington. So until we talk again on Friday, hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the Wrestling Recap on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone with the app, and online at WEOL.com. Sportsnet.com.